काव्य काव्यामृतानानं युह सर्वरसस्य च
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन ब्रह्म उवाच लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड वाचम ऑफ द वॉइस वने ऑफ फायर मुखम द माउथ क्षेत्रम द जनरेटिंग सेंटर छंदसम ऑफ द वेदिक हिम्स सच एज गायत्री सप्त सेवन धातव स्किन एंड सिक्स अदर लेयर्स हव्य कव्य ऑफरिंग्स ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स एंड द फोर फादर्स अमृत फूड फॉर ह्यूमन बीइंग्स अननम ऑल सॉर्ट्स ऑफ फूड स्टफ्स जीवहा द टंग सर्व ऑल रसस्य ऑफ ऑल डेलिकसीज च ऑल्सो ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला प्रभुपाद श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड द माउथ ऑफ द विराट पुरुष द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड इज द जनरेटिंग सेंटर ऑफ द वॉइस एंड द कंट्रोलिंग डीटी इज फायर हिज स्किन एंड सिक्स अदर लेयर्स आर द जनरेटिंग सेंटर्स of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Purport. The opulence of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that his mouth is the generating center of all kinds of voices, and its controlling deity is the fire demigod. And his skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of the seven kinds of Vedic hymns like the Gayatri. Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras and it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the generating centers are different parts of the universal form of the Lord, and since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc., suggests that the Lord in his transcendental form is not without them. The material voice or the energy of taking in foodstuff is generated originally from the Lord. Such actions are but perverted reflection of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime enjoyer of everything, and the living entities there are all engaged in his transcendental loving service without any contamination of the modes of material nature. The activities in the spiritual world are without any of the inebrieties of the material world, but there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform as suggested by the impersonalist. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. Sarvopadi vinurmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate. Originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities of the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service, and thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present positions of our material activities. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated from the conception of the different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self or for the family or for the society, country, etc. But unfortunately, all such services are rendered due to material attachment. The attachments of the material affinity may be simply changed to the service of the Lord, and thus the treatment of being freed from the material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than by any other methods, for in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that one is subjected to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. Klesho diktaras tesam avyakta sakta chetasam. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Savadetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Parnamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, we welcome you all to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir for the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are happy to have you all. Before I start, I truly do not deserve to be sitting here on this esteemed Vyasasana, but it is a causeless mercy of this temple management and all my senior god brothers and god sisters who are blessing me so that I am here, and it's a very, very great fortune of mine. And before I start, I seek the blessings of Prabhupada disciples here, Prasannatma Prabhu, and every senior Vaishnavas and everyone assembled here. Please pray for me, bless me, so that whatever I speak will be beneficial for me, and if all of you get some benefit, then it's definitely a byproduct. So, before we dive into this particular verse, I'm reading the translation one more time. Lord Brahma said, "The mouth of the Virata Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people." So as we have been hearing for last few days, I generally try to do this for my own purification, try to hear generally, not every speaker I have a great fortune to hear, but nonetheless, before my class, I try to hear whoever has given few classes previously to this, and try to speak some of the points that they have described for my own purification. So Sunday, His Grace Vrajbihari Prabhu gave a wonderful class where the beautiful statement that Srila Prabhupada writes in the end, that there is no one in this universe without the relationship with the Lord. What a brilliant statement. Not a single living entity in this world who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. And Vrajbihari Prabhu very beautifully explained, because that day happened to be the Jiva Goswami and Jagadish Pandit. So he explained how these two great souls had their relationship with the Lord. Very beautifully explained the wonderful pastimes of Jagadish Pandit and Jiva Goswami. And after that, one of the few points that really struck me, of course, everything is fantastic, but few things that stuck to my tiny brain is he talked about the three sounds, you know, Varkari Vak, then Madhyama Vak, and the Pashyanti Vak. Varkari is like, you know, something that we can hear, the sound form. And then Madhyama Vak is something, is your thoughts. And then Pashyanti is something, your feelings. But then he explained one very interesting thing. He said, when we pray, generally we pray in our thoughts and things like that. He said, try and do that in that Varkari level, you know, at the sound level. You talk, of course, like, you know, when you talk in front of deities and everyone else is there, the people will get bewildered. But you may do it at your home or try that. He really explained that. And after that, he very beautifully explained about his own experience of praying to the Lord in this particular form. And he said that he was praying for one gentleman named Mangesh. Of course, he changed the name. And then he was going through, like, you know, very difficult personal situation, that person. And he was praying for him. And while praying, like, you know, how the mind took him across the globe. And after some time, he came back because that particular incident reminded him that, oh, by the way, I'm actually praying for Mangesh. So it's such a wonderful way that he explained that we all can resonate. So it was very wonderful class by him. Followed by Tuesday, we have a very great fortune. I feel like, you know, we are the probably one of the last or the second last generation who has that great fortune to have interacted and seen Srila Prabhupada's disciples. We did not have the fortune to see Srila Prabhupada, at least I did not have. But at least we have the fortune to see and interact with the Prabhupada disciples, which is such a great fortune that we have. Right? And Prithu Prabhu gave a very fantastic class, because when they speak, we actually experience Prabhupada. Of course, we experience Prabhupada by his books, by reading that. But there is another beautiful way to experience Prabhupada, is hearing from Srila Prabhupada's disciples. It's really a benediction. And the way he was describing pastimes of Prabhupada was so beautiful. One of the pastimes that really struck me is Prabhupada was giving a class, and he was sitting on a very big vyasas, and there's a nice flower decoration, and he was going about explaining the different classes of people, first class, second class, third class, and like that. He was explaining the different classes of people. And then one person who could not resist during that time, and, oh, you are talking about all these classes because you are first class, huh? Sitting on this Vyasasana and having all this flower decoration around you. You are a first class, huh? So literally he challenged Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, sorry, I think you did not understand what I was trying to say. Actually, I am the fifth class, because I am servant of all of you, and I am serving all of you. And Prithu Prabhu explained that the tear glide down the cheeks of Srila Prabhupada at that point in time. Not because this person was shouting, he was genuinely feeling that I am here to serve all of them and take them back home, back to Godhead. So that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And he explained that how Srila Prabhupada has touched people's heart, not just heart, but he touched people's soul. That is Srila Prabhupada. And he explained, one of the things he was asking about the inner life of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada made a very beautiful statement. He said that first deserve and then desire. Sometimes these great souls, even a one sentence, if we meditate on that, probably we can perfect our life. You know, it's really amazing. And followed by, we had Prasannatma Prabhu, who gave a very wonderful class. I did not get a chance to hear that, but thank you to the person who is, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, who gives the points from that class. And I read those, and I am really eager to, like, you know, go and hear that class. It's very beautiful points. He spoke that the goal of the life, everyone is looking for goal of life, right? Everyone. But he made it so simple and so sublime, saying that the goal of life is to remember Krishna's pastimes. Why? Because Krishna's pastimes is not just sweet, but also very deep. Right? And he narrated the pastime of Bakasur Krishna killing Bakasur. And Bakasur is getting a Sarupya Mukti. What a sweet and what a deep concept is this. So beautifully explained. And he said, the The true meaning of Krishna consciousness is Krishna becomes the part of our being and our consciousness gets absorbed in Krishna. Here this statement is so beautiful. It's like a pearl, you know, it's like a jewel. So beautiful statement. That Krishna becomes a part of our being and our consciousness gets absorbed in Krishna. Beautiful. And then our dear Satyanand Prabhu spoke so beautifully about, of course, he started, I believe, with the Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada wished that even a one person becomes Krishna conscious. If one person perfect his life, that's the perfection of my life. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. And then he explained the samvad between Narada and Brahmaji. And he was explaining what is the purpose of the meeting and what meeting can be your successful meeting. When that meeting has an agenda to discuss about Krishna. So that is what this success, and that is what we see in this previous chapter. Fifth chapter is nothing but a beautiful question and answer between Narada Muni and Brahmaji. And he described the qualities that one should imbibe and learn from Brahmaji by following his footsteps. He beautifully explained the very first quality that one should imbibe is honesty. How Brahmaji was so honest that he is not the original creator. He is just helping Krishna to create this. He is thoroughly honest. Even though Narada Muni is saying, I feel you are the creator. Brahmaji says, no, I am not the creator. He is thoroughly honest. And then submissive. Submissiveness is talked about. So beautiful concept, isn't it? Sometimes we feel being submissive is, but here we learn from Brahmaji that being submissive, what you can achieve. And don't be submissive to your senses. Be submissive to Supreme Lord's instructions, which is given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So beautiful. And then he further went ahead and explained about the, he did not adulterate anything. He gave as it is. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is all about. Bhagavad Gita as it is. No adulteration at all. Nothing of his own. Everything is coming exactly how it was given by Lord Sri Krishna. Very beautiful. And the last is reading Vedas or the scriptures. That is the quality one should imbibe from Brahmaji. So those were the beautiful explanation given by the previous speaker. Not at all in their category. It's like a very tall order to speak after this esteemed speakers. But nonetheless, I will try my best to whatever I have tried to assimilate, not on my own. Again, as it is, whatever I have heard from my senior God brothers, God sisters, and whatever I have heard from my Gurudev, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. So here we see that in the previous chapter, it's all about the parts of the Lord, right? How the hands and thighs and the legs, it's explained of the Virata Rupa. And here, we are going much more in detail. Now, it's talking about the mouth, skin and everything else. So, we'll see in this chapter, the further description will go in much detail. And how it is explained here, the mouth is the generating place for the voice and everything else, right? So, I was just wondering that, it is so beautiful that everything is within Krishna. Everything. Even your wildest imagination that you may have is also within Krishna in this Virata Rupa. There is nothing existing outside of this Virata Rupa. Nothing. Right? It is such a beautiful concept. And lately it's like, you know, maybe by the mercy of Vaishnavas, I've been really getting attracted to, like, you know, how Srila Prabhupada writes purports and some of these sentences that Srila Prabhupada writes, that you can make out that this is not something done by the human. This is something dictated by the Lord, and Prabhupada himself has confirmed that I did not write these purports. Krishna made me write these purports. It's such a beautiful concept. So I may try to read the few lines from this and we'll have some discussion on that. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, in the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime enjoyer of everything, and the living entities there are all engaged in His transcendental loving service. See the choices words. It's not just Lord's service, Lord's loving service, without any contamination of the modes of material nature. So what is happening in the spiritual world is being described by Srila Prabhupada here. That everyone is lovingly serving Krishna. Nobody is being forced. Everyone is out of love, just serving Krishna. It is such a, you try to imagine that picture. It will be so beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada many times gives that analogy that have that one center and go on depositing those stones. Like, you know, have that lake, right? And if you throw a stone in that lake, what happens? It has creates the ripples. You go on throwing the stone at the same place, it will go on creating the bigger and bigger ripple circles. Right? But if you throw stones at the different places, what will happen? All these ripples starts colliding and it becomes really messy and muddy. And that is what the problem of this world. Everyone wants to make this world a beautiful place, but they have their own concept, that they have own imagination, own speculation. So they are throwing stones at the different places, and that's what creates the mess in this world. United Nations, Srila Prabhupada quotes many times. What is the purpose of United Nations? It's to unite nations. Ideally, the flag, number of flags of the nation should reduce. They are uniting. Right? But instead of that, most of the time, they end up having a more and more flags. That means the countries are getting divided. Can you imagine? It is completely opposite of what the agenda of the United Nations or what that particular word stands for. And Srila Prabhupada makes it so clear. So that is why if everyone tries to serve the same Lord, there is only one Lord. We may just have a different understanding, but believe me, if everyone in their different ways and means of that understanding of that same Lord, it will create this beautiful harmony even in this world. Beautiful harmony can be created by that. And that is what Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to give that to each and everyone. That is what Srila Prabhupada worked towards. Now there is a beautiful verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada. It is so wonderful. Sarvopadi vinirumaktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate. This one verse itself, if you understand and realize and implement in our own life, I think we can perfect our life without a doubt. Without a doubt. The very first word, Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam, and Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully. And if I may try to read that exactly what Srila Prabhupada writes. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated. Now hear this very carefully, okay? And that's what I really fall in love with how Srila Prabhupada writes purports. He's saying, the stage of being liberated from the conception of different designation. The word liberated, it's liberated from the concept of different designations. Very beautifully written. And that is the starting point. Now here in this world, I come from the corporate world. Everyone is after designation. They start their career with the lowest of the designation, maybe the, like, you know, associate software engineer, then software engineer, then senior software engineer, then lead analyst, and this, and uske baad project manager, and then the director, and the vice president, and what not, until you go to CEO, and everyone is after that rat race. And I confess, when my director promotion did not happen, I felt like the world is void. Sunya yutam jagat sarvam govinda virahiname, director virahiname. You know, I felt, my God, I truly deserve this designation. I truly deserve this position. Why it's not given to me? 2 nights I could not sleep. That is what everyone is after. But the icing on the cake is, now I am a director and I feel it's not a big deal. It was not worth spending 2 sleepless nights for something which I am right now. And that is what the story of everywhere. These designations, we may feel it's in the corporate world, is it? It's everywhere. In a very subtle form, it's even in the devotional circle. I would like to tell a story. It's a very beautiful story narrated. It's a true story narrated by Simon Sinek. I don't pronounce his name properly, so please excuse me for that. But he's a motivational speaker. But nonetheless, if anything gets connected to Krishna, we should take it. That's what I feel. If it is directly, and it's very much connecting to this particular verse of Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. So this person narrated a story that Undersecretary of United States of America, he actually told in one of his speech after he retired. So he was giving an introduction and trying to make a speech, and then he paused. He had a styrofoam cup in his hand where there was a coffee in it, and he paused there. And he looked at, he raised his styrofoam cup and said, "I would like to tell you something very important." And he said, "Last year, same time, practically same hall, I was given an invitation to come here. I was given a business class ticket. I was given a chauffeur-driven car to pick me up from the airport. There was a security to escort me all the way to the green room. And while I was getting ready at the green room with my having the microphone and everything, somebody came and handed me the beautiful ceramic cup of a coffee. And there I was looking at the ceramic cup. I had a nice coffee, and I came here to deliver the speech last year. This year, I am retired. I came here as a coach. I was given an economy class ticket, of course, because there was a sponsored event. But nobody came to pick me up at the airport. I took a taxi, came to the front door of the hall, and I figured out where is the green room. I went there on my own. Then I asked somebody, can I have a cup of coffee? And the person pointed me to the coffee machine and said, there you go, sir. So I went there, took up a styrofoam cup, poured a coffee for myself, and I'm here. So what is the lesson? What is the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, he said that, I never deserved that beautiful ceramic cup. Ceramic cup was never meant for me. The ceramic cup was meant for the position that I was holding. I always deserved a styrofoam cup. I never deserved the ceramic cup. A beautiful story. And as I said, these designations, do we see only in the corporate world? No, it's in the devotional circle as well. For me, a Mataji or a Prabhuji is a designation. We did not deserve to be called as a Mataji or a Prabhuji. I was in the DT room and I called out to one person. I was really touched. I asked that person his name, because of course I see him all the time, but I never learned his name. So I said, what is your name? So he said, Prakash. So I said, oh, Hari Bol Prakash Prabhu. He said, no. My name is Prakash. She was very clear that I am not Prabhu. I said, wow, that is a quality of a devotee. That is a quality of a devotee. And whatever the facilities that we are getting is because of our designation, even in the devotional circle. We do not deserve that. We deserve only one thing. Das, 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 anudas. That is the only thing we have, like that styrofoam cup. We do not deserve the ceramic cup, which is the Prabhus and Matajis and all the other facilities that we get along with those titles. We deserve Das, 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 Anudas. Our own great-grandfather, Srila Prabhupada, right? He exemplified that. Prithu Prabhu narrated that. Prabhupada said, I am a fifth class, I am the servant of everyone. And he genuinely meant it. And I heard one of the Srila Prabhupada's class, in Prabhupada says, when I say servant of the servant of the servant, I meant 100 times going down to that servant level. What such a beautiful concept. And that is what is going to make us happy. If you are being attached to the ceramic cups, then we'll be miserable.
and will be miserable.
Now, going further after the designation, what is he talking about? Rishikena Rishikesa, right? By serving the senses of Krishna. How do we do that? So I cannot prepare on my own. I have to refer to all the previous classes. So I was thinking, okay, what class? So then I went to, thanks to Vaishnava Seva Prabhu, that ISKCON Desire Tree is in true sense a desire tree. It can give you anything you want. And I wanted some class on this particular thing. And I came across this particular class of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. It is entitled Krishnizing Your Senses. Very beautiful class. It's hardly 45 minutes class, including question answers. But every sentence is beautiful, like a pearl. So, the class was on Bhagavad Gita, by the way. And the 10th chapter, 36th verse. And what is the 10th chapter? Opulence of the Absolute. That is what is exactly what we are talking here. Right? The very first statement in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the opulence of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. So I said, wow, this is so perfect. Huh? The chapter entitled, The Opulence of the Absolute. And the verse number 36. I'm not the verse person, so I'll not even dare to quote that. I'll try to recollect the translation. In that, Krishna says that of the gambling, I am the cheat. Of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am the adventure. I am the victory. And I am the strength of the strong. And on that, Maharaj explains so beautifully. And the first thing he explained that about the other stuff as well, right? That how Krishna says, and now hear this very carefully, because we are going to talk about something very, very important here. And which may sound little like, you know, difficult to digest also. So Maharaj quoted Srila Prabhupada saying that Krishna says that I am the taste of the water, that we all know, right? But Prabhupada said that people who are addicted to wine and they cannot give up the wine, and if you want to preach to them, then just tell them the taste of wine is Krishna. And ask them that whenever they are drinking wine, just they feel, wow, this is so tasty, so nice. So just tell them that whatever you are tasting, that wine, just remember that this taste is Krishna. This taste is Krishna. Just go on meditating like that and go on remembering. And in due course of time, this person will give up wine and will accept Krishna consciousness. Another example Srila Prabhupada gave, another very tough one to digest. Saying, if somebody is addicted to smoking cigarettes and he cannot give up, then ask them that whatever the kick that you are getting by smoking the cigarette, that is Krishna. So whenever you are smoking, remember Krishna. Whenever you're getting that kick, wow, this is, cigarette is so amazing. That is Krishna. Just remember that way. And in due course of time, you'll give up cigarettes. And sure enough, after the lecture, everyone had a question. Maharaj, how can you say like this? It's not possible. That means you are encouraging drunkard to become more drunkard. You are encouraging people to, like, you know, smoking cigarettes to become, smoke more and more cigarettes. Because, you know, they were remembering Krishna. Oh, I'm remembering Krishna. I can smoke cigarettes. Oh, I'm drinking wine. I can, go on drinking wine because I'm remembering Krishna. Maharaj says, no. They cannot give up drinking wine and smoking cigarettes. So we should also not give up on them. They cannot give up, so we should also not give up on them. And how? By giving them this way, they will definitely come. And you and I may feel, at least I was feeling, how is that possible? That means I am minimizing Krishna's value. Krishna is all perfect. Krishna is all pure. Just by remembering Krishna, you can become pure. I don't have that faith. That's why I'm questioning. But Prabhupada and Maharaj has that faith. That whoever sincerely remembering Krishna even while drinking wine, they will become purified. That does not mean that who has given up wine, they don't have to go back to drinking wine. Maharaj make it very clear that He said, what profession you are in? He said, I'm a doctor. Okay, so that means you have done your MBBS. He said, yes. If somebody comes and explain you the first standard arithmetic, will you be interested? He said, definitely not. Why would I waste my time? I already know first standard arithmetic, right? But then, those people who are drinking wine, they're in first standard. They need to understand that way. Huh? So that is what is the crux of the essence of the whole idea of taste of wine is Krishna. And I was hearing Srila Prabhupada in the TT room. It's such an amazing statement that Srila Prabhupada, not the statement, he was narrating the story of, we all know that Sakshi Gopal. And in that, Srila Prabhupada was narrating a story and telling that this young Brahmana go on warning this old Brahmana that we are in front of the DT and you are promising your young daughter to me. Are you sure? Do you realize that you are telling me this in front of the DT? That is what Srila Prabhupada was saying. So can you imagine? Do we have? That means that person has so much of faith that this is Krishna. You cannot promise something fake. This is Krishna. He had a complete faith, and that's the reason when the things go against, he was not so much interested in the daughter. He was interested that Krishna has heard this. And Krishna cannot go wrong. And I don't want this person to bear the sins of not fulfilling his promise, which he promised in front of Krishna, the deity of Krishna. And that's why he went to deity of Krishna and said, Krishna, you are the witness. Please take care of not me. Take care of the promise of this old Brahmana. Right? So such a beautiful story, and that is what it is. When you and I don't understand that the taste of the wine is Krishna, and by doing that, that person will get purified because I don't have that faith. If you have that faith, and with that faith, if you tell that person will 100% become Krishna conscious. There is no doubt about that. And after that, Maharaj explained two other very beautiful points. As it is explained in that verse 10.36, Krishna says, of the gambling, I am the cheat. And the first time I heard, my God, I was completely blown away by the definition of a cheater. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sadri Thakur says, this world is the cheaters and the cheated. Right? But he explained so beautifully. He said that what is cheating? Huh? He was giving the example of a tape recorder, but like I twisted a bit, little bit, because nowadays everyone wants to make fast money, isn't it? So somebody comes and tells you that you invest this much of money, 6 months double ho jayega. Pehle it used to take 6 years, now it takes 11 years in a very, if you put it in the post office or a bank or something, right? It gets double that 11. This person is coming, 6 mahine mein ho jayega. First time you invest, thoda hai toh little bit dalte ho aap. Ho gaya double. Wow, amazing. Thoda aur dalte hain. Then faith badh jata hai. This works. And you put all your money. And then what happens? Everything is gone. Then what do you feel? I am feel thoroughly cheated. That I gave everything to this person. And in return I got nothing. And now here comes the beauty. Krishna is the biggest cheat. Why does he cheat? Because we try to cheat him. It's not he's interested in cheating. Because we want to cheat him, Krishna cheats very thoroughly. And he engages Maya to cheat us. Maya through this world, what promises us? Just have this prosperity. You will be happy. You will be fantastic. Have this fame. It will be so wonderful. Work hard. Give your time, give your money, give your energy for this fame, for this prosperity, for this bungalow, for this family, for everything. You give this and then you will be happy. But in due course of time, Krishna comes in the form of that. Krishna says, that I am. Kal I am. And takes everything away. Why? Because you are trying to cheat Krishna because everything belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. And you think that is mine? Krishna says, sure enough. Let's have it. Right? So that's a very beautiful point Maharaj explained. And
This is another point very wonderfully explained about of the splendid and the splendor. We are all getting attracted by the forms of the opposite sex. And this attraction is so powerful. So it's like that moth. To the degree that we are attached and attracted to this particular form of this world, we are like that moth. And Maharaj explained so beautifully about this moth. What is this moth? Moth is so attracted to the fire. So similarly, if you are attracted to this fire, our whole consciousness gets burned to ashes. So this moth is so attracted to the fire, and many times the fire is on the other side of the window. I don't know how many of you have experienced. If there is a very clean glass window, you can't even make out. Actually, in my home only I have a gallery, and I have to go to the gallery. I had to put a sticker to figure out that, you know, it's a glass window so that I don't bump into it. Right? So similarly, this moth is on the one side and the fire is on the other side, and there is a glass window. And the moth is trying to get to the fire and hitting this window again and again. Boom, boom, again and again. And Maharaj explained that moth hardly lives for one night or two nights, not more than that. Giving their entire life, banging again and again to that window just to get to that fire. Just to get to that fire. And the whole life is finished. And sometimes it gets to the fire. If window is open, sometimes that moth gets to the fire. What happens? Burn to ashes. So if we are attracted to the forms of this world, we'll also get burned to ashes. Our consciousness will also get burned to ashes. So rather than getting attracted to just the mere form of this world, we accept, acknowledge, and getting astonished that, wow, this beautiful thing is the beauty of Krishna. Just the spark of Krishna is making this particular form so beautiful. My Lord is so wonderful. If you think that way, whenever you see any beauty of this world, be it a natural, be it a human, or whatever beauty you see in this world, you will not be in danger. Because you are acknowledging, appreciating, and glorifying Krishna, that Krishna, you are the spark of this beauty. Wow, such a wonderful thing, right? So when I heard this concept, I said, wow, this is amazing. This is what it is called of taking the association of sadhus. It's such a refreshing thing. So then there's one more thing that I would like to narrate, and then probably we'll end. So everyone is trying for satisfying their senses, but ultimately it's given that if you satisfy the senses of Krishna, that is the perfection of your life, right? So it's like we want to go to Vrindavan, right? And we got into the train that is meant to go to Chennai Express. And this particular analogy I learned from Balaram Shakti Prabhu and really struck me very well. He said, you go in that particular train, after some time you realize that this train is not going to Vrindavan, it is going to Chennai, completely opposite direction. Right? So you got your Google Maps, your compass, you figured out south, where the train is heading. If I start running on the opposite direction, which is north, then I will get to Vrindavan, isn't it? Because that's where the Vrindavan is. So in that particular train, let's say your compartment is the very first compartment next to the engine, and you start running full speed. That is the Vrindavan. You start running in the train. What is the probability that person will reach Vrindavan? Zero. And sometimes Maya does very nice thing. When you reach to the guard's compartment, Maya puts the, what is that called? When you walk on that, what is that? Treadmill. puts a treadmill. And you get onto the treadmill and you're running very fast. You see this many kilometers I have run. My God, I'm going to reach. Nothing happens. You sweat. You get tired, but you never get to that satisfaction and the bliss that you're looking in your life. You will never get it. What you need to do? You need to get down from that train. That train is meant to go to Chennai. It did not meant to go to Vrindavan. No matter how hard you run in that train in the opposite direction, in the right direction, but you will never reach it. You have to get down from the train and catch a train which is going to Vrindavan. And in that, you will get the association of the devotees. You will get Krishna Katha. You will get Krishna Kirtan. You will get Krishna Prasad. Everything will get, and that journey itself will be so wonderful. But unfortunately, the train going to Vrindavan also has windows, or maybe a transparent glass is there. You look outside and you feel, nice. This is something interesting. And I heard, idhar ka Taj Mahal bahut achha hai, idhar ka ye bahut achha hai. Idhar ka, this particular bhajiya or ye kuch achha hai. You get down from the train to enjoy that. And what happens? Train starts moving. And you get diverted and distracted. And after some time you realize, Are Baba, I was in the train of that Vrindavan. I was going there. What happened? And then you again get back into the train. After some time, because we are not taking a true shelter of Krishna, we are not realizing Krishna in everything. There is a wonderful godbrother of mine, Anand Gopal Prabhu. He started a very beautiful thing. Of course, he gave me that, but I'm such a ungrateful and such a ignorant person that I did not utilize that. So he has started a WhatsApp group in which he sends only two things. It will take hardly a minute. So he sends how you can see Krishna. No lecture baji, nothing. Just one thing you have to, it's a vote. You have to see yes. So yesterday I got, Krishna is a taste of water. Krishna is the source of sun, the splendor of the sun. Right? You just tick mark that. And whenever you see sun, you remember Krishna. Whenever you drink water, you remember Krishna. Go on doing that. Go on doing that and you will be Krishna conscious. There is no question about it. The problem is, we see it only few minutes and most of the time we are just looking out of the window, what else to enjoy, and that's the problem. Right? So if we remain in this train and tolerate all the things that we are seeing outside of the train, which is tempting us to get out of the train, if we just tolerate those temptations and keep only three things with us, I think we'll be able to make it to Vrindavan. And that is Utsaha, Nishayat and Dhairyat. The enthusiasm, determination and patience. In the association of the devotees, in the association of Krishna Katha, in the association of Krishna Kirtan, then we'll definitely reach Vrindavan without a doubt. I'll end with one quote, and that is a quote by Jim Carrey. He says that I hope that everyone get the rich and famous, and they will have all that they have dreamed of, so that they know that this is not the answer. And you may wonder, ye to isko sab success mil gaya, sab kuch ho gaya, everything is nice for him. That's why it's like, we call it sau chuhe kha ke billi mandir ko chali. Aap bhi khaiye sau chuhe, kaun mana karta hai? You also eat hundreds of rats and then you realize, oh my God, this is not the thing. So do we really want to do that? If somebody is whistling that there is a problem here. But no. Oh, dekhna hai mujhe. That curiosity kills the cat. Right? Curiosity kills the cat. So have faith that there is nothing up there. There is nothing being CEO. There is nothing being the most successful person unless until you are utilizing each and everything in the service of Krishna. If you are Krishnaizing your senses and your service, that is what the success of this world. Please remain in the train going to Vrindavan and have these three things enthusiasm, patience and determination in the association of the devotees. Have Krishna Katha, have Krishna Kirtan, have Krishna Prasad. And not just the destination is so amazing, but even the journey is so wonderful. So please don't miss out on that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So please correct me. I'm sure I may have spoken much, much beyond my realizations. So if any comments, then please do make, because I truly, truly not deserving or following any of these things. But with your blessings, one day I'll be able to follow this for sure. So any comments before if there are any questions? Any questions from anybody? Not then. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you.